Hi, I'm Sarah Lee, and joining me is my co-host,
Juliana.
And welcome to Murder and Psyche Podcast, a podcast where we deep dive into old and new cases and try and figure out why the killers did it. We are here for you every week with a new case, and if you would like to recommend any cases, you can check out our Instagram at Murder Psyche Pod or our website, Murder Psyche Podcast, without the T. wixsite.com/website. Viewer discretion is advised. Now let's get into the episode. Today we will be talking about Jolly Jane. Jolly Jane is an American serial killer who still boggles the mind of many. Jane was born in 1857 with the name Enora Kelly. She lived in Boston, Massachusetts with her parents and sister. Her mother, Bridget Kelly, had died of tuberculosis when Enora was very young. Her father, Peter Kelly, was considered mentally unstable, especially after an incident where he had sewn his eyes shut as his job at a tailor. This gave him the nickname Kelly the Crack, as in crackpot. Both of Enora's parents were Irish immigrants. Now, during this time, the Irish were considered highly discriminated against. Most shops that had a hiring sign also had a, quote, no Irish needed, end quote, sign.
Racism.
Yes, in its finest. This made it difficult for the Kelly family, along with other Irish immigrant families, to get stable jobs. This is especially hard for when your father sews his eyelids shut. So in 1863, Peter took Enora and Delia to the Boston Female Asylum before sending himself into a mental hospital. The nurses took note of the conditions of the girls and suspected that their father possibly abused them. Not much else is said in their records of how the girl's stay was, besides the initial reaction of the nurses. A year later, Enora was taken by Miss Anne Toppin, but was never fully adopted. You see, Anne was just looking for an indentured servant, so obviously, like most people, when they're looking for an indentured servant, they go to the local orphanage.
As you do.
Yes.
What happened to her sister?
Oh yeah, so since Enora was taken in pretty quickly, Delia wasn't so lucky. Delia stayed at the asylum until 1863.
Also, 68,
there we go. She also became a servant in New York. However, Delia soon became a prostitute and an alcoholic. Back to Enora and Anne, though. Anne didn't want people to find out about Enora's Irish past, so Enora became Jane Toppin. Anne also told others that Jane was an Italian girl whose parents had died at sea. While working for the Toppins, Jane became close with their daughter Elizabeth. Elizabeth was similar in age to Jane and was sweet, but consistently reminded Jane that she was below the family. Just like that really nice toxic friend of yours.
Yay!
Yeah. In school, Jane developed certain tendencies. She developed this charismatic personality and made up rumors about her peers to get them trouble. She also told outrageous lies about her family. Some lies she told was, her father sailed around the world, her sister married an English nobleman, and her brother was decorated at Gettysburg by Abraham Lincoln.
But she never got caught, did she?
She never did. Because she had that charismatic personality. So they were like, why would she be mean?
She's so sweet.
Why would she ever be mean? After Jane graduated high school, she was freed of her duties and given $50, but continued to live as a servant. A little while after this, Anne had passed, and Elizabeth took over the residence. Elizabeth still treated Jane like a servant, but kinder than her mother had treated Jane. Jane left the household after Elizabeth had married Oramel Brigham?
I think so.
A church deacon, and he had moved in. It's suspected that there was a growing tension between them, thus leading to Jane leaving.
I think, like, as a newlywed couple, it's weird to have your sister still be living with you.
Who's also still the servant.
I mean, servant, but, like, they... It seemed like even though Elizabeth treated Jane, like, below her, she still considered her some sort of a sister.
Yeah.
Right? She's
like, you're my sister, but, like, my... unadopted, annoying little sister.
Yeah, and you need to leave the house because I just got married.
I have a husband now. Please leave.
His name won't know.
So, at the age of 33, Jane had started her nursing training at Cambridge Hospital. Here she continued her manipulative traits and got the nickname Jolly Jane. She caused many arguments amongst her colleagues and told them that the Tsar of Russia had offered her a nursing job. Which,
I mean, cool, but it didn't happen.
It was a lie.
It was a lie.
Here, Jane also started experimenting with morphine and atropine on her elderly patients to see how these drugs affected the nervous system.
And these
system.
Are, like,
These are heavy.
Heavy, like, painkillers.
Yeah, especially morphine.
Yeah, you use them, like, surgeries and stuff.
And, like, really difficult, like, birthing...
Procedures.
Procedures, yes.
Yes.
So, like, these are heavy drugs. She was able to give these drugs by creating fake medical charts and falsely diagnosing her patients. This mix of drugs would put the victims in a vegetable state, with them going in and out of consciousness. The hospital wasn't aware of these experiments, but they were concerned with her obsession with autopsies. And the reason they weren't, like, aware of it was because a lot of the times Jane would just stand over the patients after she'd given them. So if a doctor did, like, look in or a nurse looked in, they're like, oh, she's looking after the patient.
I mean, and this time it wasn't unusual to see or check up on your...
Mm-hmm. Like, patient. Immediately after giving your patient medicine, you just watch over them.
I mean, nurses still kind of do that today. They mm-hmm. just keep an eye on you. Maybe they don't stand right over you, but they're still kind of there.
Yeah. So, one patient, Amelia Finney, had an operation in 1887. Afterwards, she said Jane Toppin gave her a dose of bitter medicine, causing her to lose consciousness. Jane climbed into her bed, kissed her all over her face, but something startled her and she stopped. In 1889, Jane was recommended at the Massachusetts General Hospital, but was fired after a year for recklessly giving out opiates. Jane went back to Cambridge, but was let go there too for the same reason. However, for some reason, the hospital still recommended Jane to patients when Jane became a private nurse. Which...
Stupid.
Stupid. Somewhere during all this time, she had also killed a close friend with citronine so she could take her job as a dining hall matron at the St. John's Theological School in Cambridge. She got the job, but it didn't last due to complaints of missing money and incompetence. As a nurse, Jane started her poison spree. In 1895, Jane had poisoned her landlords because they got in, quote, feeble and fussy and, quote, old and cranky.
Damn.
No.
No.
Can't get behind it, Jane.
I mean, when I'm old and cranky, I don't want to be murdered.
Well, I feel old and cranky now, and I don't want to get murdered.
Fair enough. I think it's important to note that, like, even, like, very early, it's like, me and you, we're 18, we're about to go to college, and she just got her certificate in college and just started killing, like, right away.
Yeah.
Like, she's not much older than us.
She's 33 around this time.
She's 33 around this time, but it didn't take her that long to experiment with drugs.
Well, I'm sure even at a young age, she had mm-hmm. thought about it.
She had thought about it.
Like, what are the heaviest drugs?
I don't know. She gives me weird vibes already.
Of course she does. So Olivia's Elizabeth would invite Jane to the Topham residence over the years, and occasionally Jane would accept. However, in one of these visits in 1899, Elizabeth had expressed feelings of depression. So Jane did what she does best and invited Elizabeth to a picnic.
Oh no.
During this picnic, Jane gave Elizabeth mineral-laced water mineral water laced with citronine. She said, quote, "I held her in my arms and watched with delight as she gasped her life out," end quote. Now, this is the thing that boggles me the most. I've seen many attempts of girls trying to get a boyfriend, trying to get a man, but never the way Jane does it.
Oh no. Oh no. She does not go after it. No.
So, after Elizabeth's death, Jane moved in the residence in hope that Elizabeth's husband would marry her.
Oramel.
I think that's how you say it.
I feel like I'm butchering his name.
Sorry, Oramel.
We love you.
3 days after moving in, Jane killed the housekeeper and took over the job in an attempt to impress Oramel with her housekeeping skills. However, Oramel refused to marry her. Like, he made it obvious. He's like, "I'm not marrying you."
He's a church deacon, isn't he?
Yeah. Can they get married?
Yeah, they can get married. Okay. I just think, like, it just seems like, as a church person, you don't typically, like, bounce around, you know? It's not a good image for the church.
No.
I'm not saying that's the reason. I'm just, like, pointing out that.
But also, he could have felt like she was absolutely crazy.
I mean, an attempt to get a man by impressing with housekeeping skills.
Well, this was back then, so, like, wives were also your house cleaner.
That's true. But even so, you did have housekeepers.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were rich.
It seems like Elizabeth that had money, but I don't know if Oramel had money.
Well, he at least married into money.
That's true. Gold digger?
We won't do Oramel like that.
We won't do him like that.
So Jane initiated her plan B, which was to poison him and then nurse him back to health.
Why is that ever an option?
Why is that plan B, though?
I feel like she just was like, yeah, okay, that didn't work. Scratch okay. Everything I ever learned.
Grab the morphine, ladies. So, again, Oramel refused to marry her. After his refusal, Jane came up with plan C. So, while they were arguing, Jane told Oramel that she was pregnant with his child.
Okay, this one's actually not uncommon, though.
This is common, but why does it come before plan B?
That's a very good question.
Like, it should be become before plan B.
Yeah, this should have been...
Like, you shouldn't do it.
But if you're gonna manipulative.
If you're gonna try and keep a man, how about you bring up the child before you poison him?
I just feel like, because she... I mean, both are very manipulative, and one is murderous, and...
It could have killed him.
Yeah, but it didn't.
Luckily.
But anyway, what happened to the...
He immediately disproved this. So, like, obviously, like, he was like, "You are not pregnant with my child. If you are, it's not mine." So in a last attempt to get married, Jane injected herself with enough morphine to knock her out.
She injected herself?
She injected herself, but not enough to kill her. You see, she wanted to fake commit suicide to get Oramel's, like, sympathy. Like, oh, she went all the way? She tried to kill herself for me?
Jane has many characteristics of a toxic friend.
I think he's way more than just a toxic friend.
I mean, definitely more than a toxic friend, but a lot of this stuff is very manipulative.
Yeah.
And narcissistic, if I may add.
So, rightfully, Ormel was pissed off and he was like, leave. Yes. Leave now. So she did. She left. And she ended up in July of 1901, Jane had rented out a cottage from the Davis family. When Jane had stopped paying her rent, Maddie Davis, the mother of the household, came by the cottage to collect the rent money. Jane invited Maddie in and poisoned her with a morphine and atropine cocktail.
Of course she did.
And then Jane moved into the Davis estate to take care of Alden Davis. Alden was the patriarch of the house.
So he was like the main man.
Yeah, he was the man of the house. But he was sick and grieving over his dead wife. Alden suffered the same fate as his wife. Since they were both older, their deaths were ruled as a stroke. After their deaths, Jane turned her attention to their daughters, Minnie Gibbs and Geraldine Gordon. However, Minnie's father-in-law became suspicious of the deaths and demanded an autopsy of Minnie. The toxicologist performing the autopsy found traces of morphine and atropine in Minnie's system. Once the results of Minnie's autopsy came back, many suspected foul play in the deaths of the rest of the Davis family. However, Jane hadn't finished her poisoning spree. She booked it out of Boston, and before her arrest, she claimed the lives of Edna Bannister, her foster sister, and nearly claimed the life of another patient. She was like, I'm not done yet, guys.
I think she knew it was coming.
Yeah. So, on October 26, 1901, Jane was arrested for murder. During her trial, Jane confessed to her lawyers to poisoning 31 people. However, her kill count is theorized to be around 100. Jane gave two reasons for her killing. One, she aspired, quote, to have killed more people, helpless people, than any other man or woman who ever lived. End quote. And two, at the age of 16, she was given a promise ring by her then boyfriend. But he had moved to Holyoke, Massachusetts, and fell in love with someone else, saying, quote, if I had been a married woman, I probably would not have killed all those people. I would have had my husband, my children, and my home to take up my mind. End quote.
That sounds like a really bad excuse.
Yeah. She's like, well, if he had married me, I would have been fine.
Oh, if you had married me. That is not a valid excuse.
No, it's not.
Be an independent woman.
You can't back then.
I know you can't back then, but women still had some sense of dignity to them.
Maybe. Because it's like a century. Like, more than a century behind us. So, like, it could have been completely different.
But I feel like even if she didn't marry this particular person, she could have married someone else. I mean, at that time, she was pretty young. She still had a lot of time. She was 16.
Well, yeah, at the age of 16, she could have easily found someone else.
So that's why I feel like it's not. I mean,
might have been just Jane being Jane.
Jane as she does.
So an 8-hour trial took place in Barnstable County Courthouse. A jury deliberated for 27 minutes. And found Jane Toppin not guilty by reason of insanity. She spent the rest of her life at Taunton State Hospital, dying on August 17, 1938. Her attendants would say that she was a quiet old lady, but would occasionally mention poisoning her older tenants. Still the same.
Still no matter not have how, changed. Not no. have no guilt whatsoever.
Jane's legacy is an ugly one. She has actually inspired a few characters in a few movies and novels, such as The Bad Seed by William Lynch, American Nightmare by John Keyes, and Murderess by Anne Bertram.
I think what makes Jane so interesting is that she's just not like your most female serial killers.
Like, she's not the typical female serial killer.
No. I mean, in the serial killer world, most psychologists that analyze serial killers designate them into, like, two categories. And when you're a male, you typically follow those categories. And when you're a female, you typically follow the commonalities of that category. And Jane does not do that, because female serial killers typically do not kill for sexual thrill.
Mm-hmm.
But as you mentioned earlier, she found it erotic, and she was taking erotic pleasure in caressing her victims as they died.
Yeah, she would climb into bed with them. Like, yeah. Amelia wasn't the only case. She did that with all of her patients.
And, yeah, it seemed like she really found thrill of it, and that's more common in male serial killers, actually. Mm-hmm. She was more of like, she doesn't really fit the MO for one, but she's designated as a lust murderer,
mm-hmm.
like Jeffrey Dahmer, except she had different modifications to how she acted towards her victims. And she didn't actually participate in sexual acts, but no. She still gained sexual thrill from it.
It was just like the thought, it's like sadism in a way, where she just got pleasure from their pain.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, she was also definitely a pathological liar, though.
Of course.
I can't imagine what being adopted at such a young age and people being ashamed of your heritage, so they make you Italian instead of Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you this new name and this new persona, and I guess it would be easy for someone to just make something up, since they are this made-up figure to your new family.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Jane seemed to tell lies not even for a specific motive sometimes. Like, sometimes she didn't gain anything from telling people, oh, I got offered a job for the Russian Tsar, like, from the Russian Tsar. Like, maybe she gained, like, a little credibility, but, like, that wasn't gonna give her a higher job position.
I think it was more so she wanted to make those around her jealous, and one of the few people that wasn't jealous of her was Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth knew who the true Jane was. Like, she had lived with her for so long. She was just like, I already know who Jane is.
I think that's probably the reasons, like, she resented her.
She resented her for her status and, like, had jealousy over it.
And I think that because Jane was so used to lying, that's probably why she got away with killing for so long, because pathological liars tend to be natural performers. They're very eloquent, they know how to engage with others, and they're very creative and quick when they need to make up stuff. And they don't show common signs of lying like normal people do. They don't itch their nose, or their heart rate doesn't go up like it wouldn't show on a polygraph test. Mm-hmm. Because she's gotten so good at it, and even some liars believe their delusions, but in this case I don't think Jane did.
I think she might have had like a sense of right and wrong. She just didn't care.
Her moral compass is
skewed,
very skewed. And this contributed to her justification for pathologically lying and killing for sexual thrill. I mean, this can be associated with a lot of, like, personality disorders, but there's no way to prove whether or not she had a narcissistic personality or antisocial personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But she definitely had sexual fantasies, I think.
that she needed to be fulfilled in her killings. And she pursued that in any shape or form. Like, even though she did target elderly victims because it was easier to hide, I don't think she had a preference.
No, because she even killed the Maddie family, which is, like, a healthy mother. Yes, the father was sick, but then he also had two healthy young daughters.
Yeah, I mean, she killed in one hospital, she killed in the other hospital that she went to that got fired from. And she went back, and they fired her again. She was still killing then. And then even as a private nurse, she was killing. And then she went into two households and tried and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she got away with it because she was such an eloquent speaker and liar. And people just liked her.
Yeah. She was Jolly Jane.
She was Jolly Jane. Like, she seems like such a capable and nice person. But I mean, she was obviously mentally disturbed, but that, I don't think that went away even when her reputation and what she was actually doing was exposed. Because even in the mental asylum, she remained proud of, I think, what she did in a sense. And she was actually really popular with the staff. Like, the psych ward staff, like, really liked her. They were her favorite. She was her favorite,
Maybe like, have you been to Jolly Jane today?
Jolly Jane today, yeah. But, I mean, the insane asylums back then weren't the best conditions, and you don't get the best treatment. And so, as most patients did in insane asylums back in the day, even institutionalized insane asylums, she began to suffer from, like, depression and reverting back to childhood, like, almost like a form of dementia, where she, like, started calling herself by her birth name.
Anora.
Anora, yeah. And she used to talk about becoming a nun and leaving the institution, which is obviously not possible, but...
No, of course not.
It demonstrated that probably something happened in her childhood with her traumatic...
Like, possibly she was actually abused by her father.
Possibly, or even, like, the conditions that she was raised in. Like, even if she wasn't abused, she wasn't raised at all. And kind of just moved around and had to reform her identity because she was adopted. But, I mean, eventually, in the asylum, she became so paranoid. This is actually super common. Paranoia, and she, like, refused to eat. And she claimed that there was rashes all over her body and that they were poisoning her. And then eventually she died, and just like she was, like, very paranoia, very suffered from manic depression, and she was just very disturbed. But I feel like even with her traumatic childhood events, there were so many children that experienced that in this era with being immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that creates serial killers, but I just...
There had to be a catalyst somewhere along her youth that did trigger something. Whether that be before her adoption or after her adoption. Probably after, when she, like... I'm not saying Elizabeth is the catalyst, but, like, the family in general, where they probably put her down and made sure that she knew that, like, she would not be able to go anywhere. This is, they have provided her an opportunity that she's never gonna get. They're the reason that saved her, and she probably, like, got jealous and wanted some notoriety.
Yeah, I think she was definitely raised in very condemnation of, like, Irish immigrants. And her home life was awful. Like, her mom died, and her dad's just this
mentally
insane person. And he very paranoid. Sewing your eyelids shut is a very, even though he wasn't diagnosed and I don't know much about him, showing your eyelids shut is very typical of paranoia, people with paranoia.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm, because they feel like something's going to crawl in their eyes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. a lot of mental illnesses aren't genetic, but that could have, they're not necessarily genetic, but that could have some contribution to her conditions. And the fact that was her normal as a child, You just thought it was somewhat normal.
Well, yeah, that was the living condition she lived in, and she didn't know any better.
Yeah.
It was very heartbreaking, but... I mean...
Jane, you're a killer, but we really wish things could have gone differently
for you. Of course.
Well, that was Jolly Jane. Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to check out anything we discuss, check out our Instagram and website. Over there will be sources, photos, and additional material. Have a lovely rest of your day, and stay safe. We will see you next time.